Reporting for duty, a little bit late here, of course. If you're joining us live, sorry about that. My apologies. It was just too much to pull together before we started up with the show here. Really no other explanation than that. Just a lot of things to keep up with here today. A lot of things to try to pull together. Hopefully we have a good show. I think we have a good show lined up for you guys today. A lot of important things to discuss and go over. As always, it's good to see all of you. Hope you're doing well wherever you are, whether you're joining us live, DLive, VK, Twitter, Entropy Stream, wherever you're tuning in, of course, through the websites as well, redice.tv/live, or maybe you're joining us later on in the archives on redicemembers.com. Special shout out to our members, of course, or also BitChute, VK. What else we put? A library you put up as well. So a couple of places, of course, where you might be joining us from. All right, gang, hope you're doing well. I had a video put up yesterday here by Lana. It was another member exclusive. We've usually done like maybe 90% of what we do. Everything is for free, of course. We have a very, but those 10% is very, you know, we put a lot of effort into those. It's a golden 10%, like Weekend Warrior exclusive videos. Of course, the second hour of many of the interview shows and stuff like that have been for members as well. We've just done a few extra for you guys, for members. It's worth it. So I guess a tell would be if you're, If you're irritated that you couldn't watch the video, then that's a good sign that you should get a membership, because you obviously want to see what we're doing. And of course, it helps us as well. It's not just because we're not in this for the money, ladies and gentlemen. Just to make that clear, that's not what this is about. What this is about is to get more resources, right? The more we can build momentum, the more you guys come on board as members, the more we can expand as well. I've been wanting to get on an additional editor and also a full-time kind of admin person. It costs money. It's just a fact. I mean, you've got to pay these people salaries and stuff. And so that's what we want to do. And so that's why we're trying to incentivize you guys out there just a little bit more. You know, get in there. Check out some good stuff. Exclusive things there. So Lana did this one yesterday. I pulled it together fairly late last night. Does a white majority make a perfect country? It's an interesting video. Short but sweet. Check it out if you haven't already. Then, of course, before that, we had a Weekend Warrior. Check that out, too. Covered a lot of this stuff about the BLM riots kind of across the West and stuff. Good stuff for you guys to check out at redicemembers.com. But, of course, if you're unable or unwilling, you can, of course, join us for all the free stuff that we do for you guys, whether that's live streams or shorter videos or all that good stuff. But we do appreciate all the support out there. All right, where are we, ladies and gentlemen? Maybe we should go through a couple of these diamonds over on DLive here first before we dive in. As usual, a lot of stories, a lot of videos and things to cover, articles, happenings. Things are happening, ladies and gentlemen. Happenings are very active here the last couple of months, to say the least. So we'll check some of that out. Let me just back up here. I saw that Junas Luka is hosting over on DLive here, Vihupan FM. Thank you so much for that. Good to see you guys. Jim Woolsey donates 1, 2, 3, 4 diamonds in a row. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Conrad K over on DLive here, I see, donated a diamond as well. We'll check donor box in a bit. The Based Crusader, also a diamond. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. Good to see you all. Yes, as I said, we do have donor box open in case you want to check that out. Let me go forward here. So we have entropystream.live/redicetv. Good way to jump in. Of course, you bypass some of the other ways. It's a kind of a free speech super chat platform. Good stuff. I'll keep an eye on that. And also, of course, here through DLive, majority of the audience joining us through DLive. Good way. I've actually added, I forget if I mentioned it last Friday or not. I think I did mention it actually. It was like a BitTorrent token. Or Tron, the Tron guy, Justin Sun, he bought DLive, right? The whole Tron network and stuff. And so they added a thing that you can donate through that as well. The problem is I don't see the notifications for that immediately, which is kind of weird. I hope they figure that out, but I'll try the best I can to keep an eye on that in case someone donates through that. I have no idea if you can drop messages as well. I would assume you can. I got to try it out myself actually. But anyway, that's another way. And then, of course, we have four now. We're going to update this, but we have donorbox.org/red-ice as well. I'll keep an eye on that kind of stuff while we go here, guys, and while we talk about some of the stuff that's been going. A lot of statues, of course, are being toppled right now all over the West. We're going to look at some of the footage of that. Kind of a Well, we'll get into it when we get into it. It's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So a couple of more came in here. I think, yeah, the base Crusader sent another diamond. No message. Thank you, John Saxa, 1418. It was good to see you. He donates a diamond. It says, hey, Hail Red Ice, happy hump day. Shuck the bootlicker. Shuck the bootlicker. Thank you, John Saxa. I appreciate that. Wilhelm von Jugengasse, I guess, Juden. Can I say that? I better mark this on X tag here soon. These are, I'm just reading names. There's no one saying anything here. He donates a diamond. It says, Red Ice is the jam. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Netlux, good to see you as well. Donates a diamond. Says, love Red Ice. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let me actually do that on DLab. Let me set this to X tag just in case. It's kind of a shame. You know, you want to keep that open so new people and stuff can kind of come in. They can see the stream. They can hang, you know, if they just drop it by the front page or whatever. But they do have the terms of service or whatever they have is basically, if you talk about anything political, whether that, you know, controversial or anything like that, X tag it, because they want nothing to do with it. It's a gaming platform, but there won't be any gamers rising up on this platform. So anyway, let me mark that X tag. That means it's going to be hidden from the front page, at least for new folks. Good way, of course, of helping us out is to share the stream link, dlive.tv/redicetv, or whatever link you're watching through on your social media, so people know we're live. All right, let me see here. Where do we begin? Let's begin with this. That's a pretty good supercut regarding the shift. We've talked about that in quite a few shows, but that shift in attitude when it comes to the protesters of the lockdown of coronavirus versus the flip the media did later on when they started to encourage the protesters. So let's check this out here.
And a far more serious scene. Watch these images. Really just an ugly, a dangerous scene at the state capitol in Michigan.
As we look at this extreme group of people.
Those pictures and those clashes really show the chaos.
And you're out there with guns.
I don't want to call them rallies. They're not protests.
These quote unquote protests. I don't even think that that's the right word because protests are supposed to be peaceful.
I'm not embarrassed to say that I was afraid.
It's not clear what they're demanding. Demanding to infect other people, demanding to make other people sick.
It's dangerous, and these people can take this home with them and hurt their families and all the rest.
I'd like to ask them if they're willing to sign away their right to treatment if and when they get infected.
Who the hell do you think you are? I don't understand what is wrong with people. Stay at home.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
Excuse me, any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
The beautiful thing is we're seeing citizens who are caring and concerned. They're hitting the streets.
Heartwarming to see so many people turn out peacefully.
You know, Brooke, I think this is a march, really.
But as they're coming off, it's peaceful. They're saying peaceful protest.
Across the country, it's bringing people together, community with unity.
People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Yep, there you go. All right, couldn't do it better than that. So that happened. the flip really did happen. So let's talk about the statues here. I thought we could begin in the UK and look at some of the situation there, which of course have been out of control, really, to be honest. They've been toppled all over the place. We're going to look at some countries and some unexpected one. Here's Bristol. So this was a racist and he owned slaves or he did XYZ and therefore this is the reason, right? We played it in Weekend Warrior, but check this out here. Look at this crowd here. One more time. Let's look at it. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Let me go into the replies, because immediately, of course, people were being, you know, saying, well, this is great or whatever. He was a racist, this guy. Colston, was it? What was the name again? I forget. I've seen so many of these now. I forget. This one slipped my mind. okay. I had one of the top replies was actually like a link of a reason, like he was Edward Colston. He was some slave trader or something, and therefore, you know, we have to kind of tear it down, right? So, but as we know, it's not going to stop there. It's not going to end with these kinds of things. This is a takeover. This is a sign of dominance. When you lose wars, when you're being conquered, your statues are being torn down. Here's another guy here, Robert Milligan, the son of a plantation-owning family in the Caribbean, was chairman of the West India Dock Company. A commemorative statue to him stands on the West India Quay at Canary Wharf. It is being removed. I actually haven't seen that yet, but these things are continuing. Robert Milligan. I guess F in chat for Robert Milligan. Here's the one. Yeah, up to update. The status of slave trader Robert Milligan has now been removed from West India Quay. Sorry about that. I forgot that I had actually a video of the thing. Douglas Murray said here, nothing about knife crime, but this mayor moves like lightning when it comes to taking down the statue. Sadiq Khan tweeted this out here. Take a look at the footage. Well, that's not good footage right there. Oh, if you want to see a statue removed, here we go. To thunderous applause, our civilization is being dismantled. One name at a time, one statue at a time, one road at a time. It's being renamed, forgotten, shoved under the rug. In some cases, more violently than that, of course. It's how easy it is. Just take it down. That's how easy it is. Just remove it. So here was one, kind of a funny, I tweeted this out earlier, but change.org replaced. We saw the statues of Winston Churchill, of course, being attacked, dismantled, spray painted and stuff like that. And there's so many layers to this that you could get into with, like, you know, these guys, you know, the reply back usually is, well, these are the people that they won and they defeated the National Socialist German Workers' Party, and ergo, therefore, they should be allowed to stay. Do you think enemies of Western civilization, enemies of people of European descent, or white people, do you think they care? Do you think they have any nuances here? No, of course not. Absolutely not. Replace the statue of Winston Churchill in Parliament Square with a statue of Chief Keck, or Kef Keck was the tagline here. Replace the statue of the racist man. I don't know if it's a troll still. Responsible for millions of deaths around the world with a true icon whose influence around the globe is revolutionary. I think it's a troll, but I'm actually not certain that is. Here's more. University of Liverpool has agreed to rename Gladstone Hall, named after former Prime Minister William Gladstone. It comes following an open letter from a group of students highlighting his father's slaveholding. All right, so it doesn't matter. It could be, 1 degree or 50 degrees of separation. It will not matter, right? University will rename student halls named after former Prime Minister William Gladstone. Got to move somewhat quickly through these. Of course, the taking of the knee. We've seen this all over. We'll get into the U.S. portion a little bit later here too. But this has spread this infection, this anti-white pandemic, this virus that exists inside of white people's minds have spread to the U.K. to other parts of the West as well. Here we see a whole group of Labour MPs that are taking the knee. Check this out. I see actually one pretty large woman on the right there who is actually not taking a knee, but I think she's holding up a fist. So maybe that's if you can't take a knee, if you're old or very round, I guess it's okay to hold up a fist. Just so you guys know that, in case they demand that you bow before Zod, right? I actually saw this someone did this, the meme. It's the new, I think this is the new Labour, I forget his name, on the left there. And I presumably his hot secretary. I don't know who that is at all. But Zod was actually spreading. It's a kind of a meme that's been going around, right? This is what it's about. Superman. Do you guys remember the movie Superman? From, was it 1980? Actually, the second Superman. Superman 2. There was a scene here when Zod, it's an interesting name too, Zod. I don't know if they intentionally just got a letter wrong. But yeah, I don't know. Let's just look at this here. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Check it out. It's a good clip. At the White House. I think the kneeling part is coming around. Let's check it out. There we go.
You are the one they call president?
I am.
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly. Good. Rise before Zod.
Rise before Zog. I mean Zod.
No. Kneel before Zod.
That's right.
You are not the president. No one who leads so many could possibly kneel so quickly.
Huh? Smart guy.
I'm the man they're protecting. I'm the president. I'll kneel before you if it will save lives.
It will. Starting with your own.
That's right. Will he kneel before Zod?
What I do now, I do for the sake of the people of the world. But there is one man here on Earth who will never kneel before you.
Who is this imbecile? Where is he?
I wish I knew.
There we go.
Oh, God.
Zod wins.
Zod.
Good stuff. So that's been going around now as a kind of a meme. I'm glad it's catching on. I've actually not seen the updated version of the Superman movies. I just, you know, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, these old ones are just, they're perfect, you know. Don't have to change a thing. They're absolutely perfect. But yeah, you can, of course, speculate about what Zod means and the representation of Zod. But it's also this idea of, like, don't, you know, you shouldn't negotiate with the terrorists. I remember when the Americans kind of had that as a slogan under George W. Bush and stuff like that, right? We don't negotiate with terrorists. Those people are subjecting us to terrorism, right? They're trying to defund the police. We'll get into that here in a moment. They're taking down statues. They're attacking our culture, our heritage, and all this kind of stuff. And most people, most white people, they just line up and they kneel. They kneel before Zod. So check out this here, is a website. toppletheracists.org, UK-driven site regarding the, let me zoom in here a bit, regarding the statues that they have an eye on. And of course, this is, as we know, this is also just the beginning, right? This is going to spread. This is going to continue. Eventually, it's not going to be good enough. I haven't clicked in on all of these yet, but as we can see, quite a few around right, England, London area, of course. Kind of a bad... Can I just... There we go. Can I zoom in? Shift? No? Alt? Kind of dumb. I thought they have a... I guess I have to use a plus and minus up here, then. But anyway, this is... Check it out. Topplethe.org. That's all the statues that these people want gone, right? For whatever reason, they don't like you. They don't like the person, what he did historically. And then you think, once these are gone, you think they're just going to... You know what? We're good now. This is we're happy with this. This is perfectly fine. It'll be universities. It'll be airports. It'll be roads. It'll be, and eventually, of course, it would just won't be dead people. It would be live people as well. God, I wish they had the scroll things. You could actually zoom in. They don't seem to have pictures on some of them. They just have the name. Sir Henry de la Beche, name on front of Imperial College, which is Imperial College. That's interesting. I chose that one. That's, of course, the all the bullshit about the coronavirus came out of the Imperial College, Royal School of Mines. Galton Lecture Theater. And then they have a little explanation here. Why it needs to be taken down, I assume. Why they're racist. Yeah, Francis, Sir Francis Galton. They're going for him. Now, and some of these I'm not like a huge, you know, like, you know, fan of. But obviously that's not the point. The point is, this is the removal of our ancestors, of the statues. It's a symbolic gesture here, right? Rename Colsey, the roads here. Rename Colston Road in Mortlake. These are the kinds of things too. Erase them from memory, right? It's kind of interesting too, because it's like when you know, now they say, what is the tagline they say? They say, well, it no longer represents the country, right? It's like now it's more diverse, they say. Now it's more ethnically, well, I guess ambiguous, but it's in no regard homogenous. Many of our Western countries, sadly. And so therefore we get to update everything that fits that, right? So if it's, let's say, I don't know, 10% Middle Eastern or something, or it's 8% Sub-Saharan African or whatever, right, in any given country, then the things that we have out in the world and on the TV screens and in the media and in advertisement and models, all these things have to match the percentages of these kinds of groups that we have, right? But think about it. Their very complaint as well is if you look back historically and say, well, when we were a, you know, basically like a, you know, 99%, 98%, you know, of European stock in whatever country we're talking about. We could take the UK when it was, you know, Celts and Anglos or whatever primary group. Then they also do a revision view on that and say, well, that was wrong. That's bad. Then you had all the things that reflected you and your population. That was wrong, and we are attacked for that. But now when it slowly, unfortunately, begins to transforming and we're losing our ethnic homogeneity in many of our countries, then now it has to reflect the you know, the percentages that we are. Imagine when they are 50% or 60 or 70 or 80%. Do you think there will be a representation of white people at all left? Of course not. They'll grab everything. Well, anyway, I didn't go through you know, all these statues on the in the on the site. Just who has the? It's also tiresome. Who has the time, right? Then meanwhile, we can just stay in the UK for a little bit. Right? While there's actually crimes being committed, people being knifed. We saw the very sad video of the guy in Ireland. The young, it looked like a teenager. He was stabbed. Not going to show it here today, but he was stabbed by African migrants. I heard that he survived, luckily, but we've seen an escalation of anti-white crime all over the West in the wake of, you know, BLM and topple their statues and all these protests and all this kind of craziness, right? What do the UK police do and the authorities? They go after two members of National Action and actually putting them in jail for being part of this Nazi hate group, right? And this is actually, this whole thing goes a few years back. I forget if it was 2018 or possibly as early as 2016, when National Action was branded a terrorist group. And you know, they made it a crime to be part of the group, and it disbanded and stuff like that. But they've hunted these people consequently. After this, Alice Cutter and former partner Mark Jones were jailed alongside co-accused Gary Jackson and Connor Scottern today, Tuesday, for playing significant and trusted roles in National Action, which was proscribed in December, there we go, 2016, yeah, December 2016, by the then Home Secretary Amber Rudd, right? So it was a crime to be part of this, and then they just kind of went on to say, well, these people, they formed other groups, so they didn't really, you know, all these arguments were made or whatever. But this is what they prioritize in the UK. Go after people who, as far as I know, committed no crimes against anybody. These were just accusations. They had said things, or they thought things, essentially, like they made mouth noises we didn't like. And so therefore, or they made some salute or something, you know, and that's what they go after. That's the crime. That's the priorities now in the UK. Not illegally smashing, you know, statues, which represents our heritage and stuff like that. Let's go after these people. And of course, meanwhile, as well, in the UK, Getting on one knee for a convicted criminal with a rap sheet longer than my arm, yet not a peep for the life of an innocent girl. You guys remember? Emily Jones decapitated in front of her parents in the park by a Somali immigrant. The media covered up her murder. Her name was Emily Jones, right? Do we remember these people's names? You know? No, we don't. It's very tiresome. It's very, very tiresome. So these are the kinds of things they prioritize in a different country. They can't even internally in the UK lift out cases like these, have demonstrations. I mean, white people are very nice until we're not, right? In a way, it's just like, you know what, just butter up the popcorn and let them have at it, because as we know, every action will have an equal or opposite reaction, right? It's to assume that this would just, everything that we're seeing right now, to assume that this would just go completely unchecked, that it would just vanish, no one will do anything, there will be no large protests against what we're seeing, I think is hugely mistaken. I mean, the left has, of course, kind of hubris on these issues. They just don't know when to stop. Granted, some of these that we're seeing a kickback off is, of course, partially, I think, also because we've seen a rise in basically people of European descent that are awakening to the fact that they also have an identity, which is under attack. And this, of course, has been solidified the latest couple of weeks with everything that's going on. The anti-whiteness of the culture, of the establishment, of the media, of the banking system, of Antifa, of the anarcho-communist, of BLM, of the Black Bloc, all these, you know, pseudo like terrorist groups and stuff like that. All of that was because of a reaction to the fact that more people are beginning to wake up and push back. Partially, of course, since it was triggered in the U.S., is part of the fact that Trump was elected. No matter how little he's done or whatever, but it's more symbolic than anything, right? Trump is seen as like, the symbol of like the white man, obviously. So he's the biggest attack. He's one of them that they have to tear down and get out of office and all that kind of stuff. But with everything that we've seen, including things like Charlottesville and things like that of that nature, that we saw protests and large organizations and groups that got together to, protest at the removal of statues and the attack on heritage and stuff like that. You've seen a massive backlash since 2016 all over in the West, but primarily the US and then I'd say UK and some other, you know, Western European countries. And now it's their time in the sun, right? Now they're pushing back. Now they're fighting back. They're pushing out as hard as they can and move as fast as they possibly can to get as much damage done as possible. Because I don't know how many of them actually think that this will go unchecked, that this will just, it will pass and there won't be any backlash. Probably a significant portion of them that believe that. But we'll see. It's going to be very interesting. But yeah, let me show you, actually, before we go on to Belgium here, Antwerp. They have been removing statues of King Leopold. We'll take a look at the footage of that in a moment here. Belgium. I saw White Rabbit Radio's hosting. Thank you. Tim Murdoch, check him out here on DLive. Appreciate that. Hope everything is good. Mr. Noseberg gifts a one-month sub. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Let me just check donor box real quick before we continue and move on. I saw the Conrad K sent one earlier. I'll get back to you on that. Thank you, Conrad, regarding the stock. Actually, I should say regarding that too. He was asking about Lana's Llama and the t-shirts. If we get more in stock, we have a plan of doing probably three more prints or so. But right now there's a sale on what we have left in stock in the store. So go to redeyes.tv/store or just lanaslama.com. Right now, $10 for the t-shirts. We're going to clear those out and then we bring in new stock, new prints and stuff like that. So check that out because it's a discount on those right now. So thank you, Conrad, for that. Appreciate it. But yeah, check this out. This is the Belgian King, Leopold II. That was defaced, and after a weekend of Black Lives Matter attacking it, they are removing them. There's no audio on this. Yep. This is how easy it is. This is actually fairly big as well. I think it's actually in the thumbnail. You can actually see just how large this statue is. Massive. Now, granted, I'm not I'm actually not like a huge fan of like King Leopold or whatever what he did. It's kind of there's an interesting and kind of you know, conflicted story in a way with the roots of Belgium. There's no accident that they placed the EU the in Brussels, like the main the parliament there, commission I think is in Strasbourg, on the French-German border. But it's not an accident that Belgium was the seat of this thing, because it's a kind of a there is a kind of a rootlessness. Of course, the in the northern parts, the Flemish, of course, have a very strong tradition and heritage, which is kind of rooted in everything. But Belgium, as such, the greater Belgium, is very divided and split. And there's a French speaking part. I think there's even a Dutch speaking part. I could be wrong on that, but there's like three different languages. Flemish, of course, in the north, but. So it's easy, in a way, to attack this, right? Especially when EU is centered so heavily in Belgium as well. New York Times had this. Let me actually pull up an incognito window of this here. Let me see if I can get the video here. Let me see if they let me play it. Okay, here we go. With better footage here too. Antwerp. I've been through there, and of course it's. It's essentially like it felt like going through the Middle East, many parts of Antwerp. And of course, there is a particularly kind of nasty history, you know, with like King Leopold and stuff like that. That's why it's easy for them to remove it. But you see, the point is the symbolic gesture, right? The point is to get people to submit to that and then say, yeah, that's actually, you know, yeah, we could remove that. That's okay, kind of thing. He was such a bad guy or whatever. He was actually a cousin of, Queen Victoria, this guy. Second or third cousin, I believe, to Queen Victoria. Anyway, he was kind of placed on the throne or whatever, but it's our heritage as Europeans that are being attacked. That's what's being ripped away here. That's why we have to defend it. And no matter how flawless, do you think there's other people that are being celebrated in other countries that did some bad things? Of course there is. That's pathetic and ridiculous, right? But it's only the West, only Europe, that's under the looking glass, hyper-examined, critical theory, you know, this cultural Marxist virus that's infected the West. This is the fruits of that. It's just hyper-examining everything, and everything is a critique, and everything is white supremacy and fascism and all this bullshit, right? Here's a statue of Victor Schœlcher. Schœlcher, I think you pronounced that, the man who set slaves on the French island of Martinique free. And yet the descendants of those slaves are still decided to topple the statue because he is white.
La statue de Victor Schœlcher, trônant devant l'ancien palais de justice de Fort-de-France, renversée par une poignée de militants. Sur les images, les auteurs n'arborent aucun signe distinctif particulier, même si l'on voit sur certains des t-shirts imprimés rouge-vert-noir. Sur cette autre vidéo, captée depuis un autre angle, on perçoit la détermination des activistes. Ils s'acharnent de longues secondes sur la statue. Une quinzaine d'entre eux la renversent à la force des bras. À Schœlcher, le même sort est réservé à la statue de celui qui a donné son nom à la commune, située juste à l'entrée du bourg. Dans un cas comme dans l'autre, les militants ont pour quelques-uns agi à visage découvert. Les cordes et les outils utilisés, de même que la date du 22 mai, suggère un acte
prévu. Sorry, I can't translate this. This is French TV here.
Considéré par un grand nombre comme un abolitionniste ayant permis la signature du décret d'abolition de l'esclavage. Mais le personnage et les hommages qui lui sont rendus sont remis en cause par d'autres qui prônent avant tout la mise en lumière des révoltes.
Yeah. So what we're seeing here is the whole anything that was founded by Europeans, and of course now our own countries too, are being turned into one giant no-go zone, essentially. They do not want us to be part of this anymore. They want to take over. They want to make sure that we bow, that we kneel to these people, that we submit, right? Bow to Zod at any price necessary, right? At any means necessary, I guess. So this was going around too. I thought we could check this out. The Democrat Party, they're of course not only dressed up in their little cutesy African scarf garb here while they were doing it, but they were also, of course, kneeling. And I still don't know if they actually did it for the full 8 minutes. I know there's some older people among the crowd there too, so that maybe that would be hard for them, but there's a little bit of a shorter cut of their actions here. Let's check this out.
That tragedy, that horror of history, then slavery in our own country, and then all of the consequences of that. We are here to observe that pain. We are here to respect the actions of the American people to speak out against that, specifically manifested in police brutality. We are here to honor George Floyd.
There we go. I don't know, one woman there, she was checking her phone, but I don't think, hey, let me go back there. That's Nadler, our favorite, the defender against the scourge of white supremacy. Remember, he was heading up this hearing on white nationalism / white supremacy, right? They're using the same terms. He's standing up. Do you see that? He couldn't even, I mean, he's very round, he's very wide, horizontally challenged, but he did not go down on his knees. Of course he didn't. Knee injury, I guess, or something like that, right? Or he just refuses. It's interesting. I thought you were forced to raise a fist if you couldn't kneel. There's Schumer. There's that guy, I forget his name, out of the right there. He was like attacking like Bitcoin and stuff. He's like in the pocket of the big banks and other Jewish gentlemen, I think, on the right. I forget what his name is. It was Kamala Harris. I don't know who that is.
You see how long it was to have that knee on his neck.
God, these people. Oh, man, the pandering of these people is just... I mean, I don't know who does buy that? I know there's kind of the responses. I saw some, you know, some of the critique and stuff, and it was kind of the usual, you know, like the Republican, the cucked kind of talking points of like, well, if these people really cared about XYZ, they would do these things. And of course, there's some partial truth to that. I shouldn't say that there's no truth to it whatsoever. But the fact is that they kind of try to spin it that they're just simply opportunists and they don't really believe in this. Now, I know that that's the score of politicians, but don't make any mistake about that. These people are vehemently anti-white. I mean, if they are white, they hate themselves. They hate their own people. They hate their own country. They want to turn this into just a... Well, a chaos-ridden, complete, just communist, you know, just state. Essentially, most of these people they want the They don't want to have a utopia that works where everyone's getting along. So these people get a kick out of ruining things, right? That's what it's about. And the fact that they're wearing this little scarf, I saw that there were some people that were upset about that. It was some. I think I saw one on Twitter. Maybe I should have saved it and played it, whatever. But some lady from, I think, Ghana or something, she was like talking about, now it's not good enough. This was appropriation, right? So these layers of all the stuff that you could go into. but make no mistake about it. They're serious about their hatred for the civilization that they're supposed to represent and run. Absolutely. So John Sachs, I sent a diamond and says, seriously, Nadler looked like a mole rat. He does look like a weird, very weird guy. Look at this, even the way he's standing here. Have you seen some of the older images of Nadler? Let's check that again. What is he doing? Let's see if I can find older pictures of Nadler. You can see just how round he was. Yeah, here's one. Look at this is how Nadler used to look. He's got a full screen there. Where are we? Here we are. That's how he used to look. He was like really round, this guy. And the pants one is a classic too. Let me see if I can. Yeah, this one. Here we go. That's Nadler right there. He's, as you can see, lost some weight. I don't know if he's sick or something, or if he's actually, you know, what he's been up to. Here's another good shot of old Gerald Nadler. Good stuff. He kind of looks like the Penguin a little bit out of Batman. It's a great scene. I think there was a charge that it was anti-Semitic. Did you guys ever see that? I don't know, I'm going off on tangents here, but I don't really care. It was so. Let me see if I can find Batman, Penguin, Let me see if I can find that. It was like a great. Yeah, this is the scene. Let me just see here. I think this is the one. Penguin scene. How long is that? 2 minutes. This must be it. Check this one out here. Gerald Nadler looks like the Penguin. And maybe that's why there was charges that this was anti-Semitic or something. I mean, again, and no one. This is the accusations are pathetic, right? Talk about projection. They see things no one else sees, I guess. But look at it. See, judge for yourself. See here.
Did you miss me?
I don't know how we ended up on this, but I don't care. This is fun. Check this out. Huh? Nadler?
Did you miss me?
Great speech, Oswald.
Oswald, huh?
My name is not Oswald! It's Penguin! I am not a human being!
Let me pause it right there and we can compare. Let's compare. Let me see here. Oh, where'd it go? Here we go. There we go. There's Nadler. That's Penguin. Huh? Not too far off, I think. I think we got it. I think we got a pretty good comparison right here. Let me go back to the image one. God, I'm fiddling with the windows here. There we go. All right, not too bad. Huh? Not too bad. It's kind of him in a way.
I am an animal! Cold-blooded! Crank the AC! Where are my lists? Bring me the name! Ah, it's time! These are the names of the firstborn sons of Gotham City. Just like I was. And like me, a terrible fate waits for them. Tonight, while their parents party, they'll be dreaming away in their safe cribs, their soft beds. And we will snatch them, carry them into the sewer, and toss them into a deep, dark, watery grave.
There we go. Now, what in the world got into people's minds when they thought that this was Batman? Batman Returns, 1992. There's a couple of articles about how I was anti-Semitic, supposedly. But I'll just leave that for you there. I don't know how we... Sorry about this. I don't know how the hell we ended up on this trail, but... okay. let's switch over to the defund the police... I guess a portion of this here. Now, of course, it's no better. Now, of course, I know I'm Swedish and I bought in sometimes in American politics or whatever, but it's, of course, I don't have the influence like someone like John Oliver does, on the other hand. I think it's okay to have a say as an outsider. But of course, there's someone like John Oliver from the UK that's is gonna tell Americans. Now, a lot of people were referencing this like it's his talking points that spread and goes around and stuff like that in regards to what it is or what it means to defund the police or how great it is going to be. So listen to this here.
Defunding the police absolutely does not mean that we eliminate all cops and just succumb to the purge. Instead, it's about moving away from a narrow conception of public safety that relies on policing and punishment and investing in a community's actual safety net, things like stable housing, mental health services, and community organizations. The concept is that the role of the police can then significantly shrink because they are not responding to the homeless or to mental health calls or arresting children in schools or really any other situation where the best solution is not someone showing up with a gun. That is the idea behind Defund the Police, if you actually listen to it.
Let's listen to that one more time. Let's skip forward a little bit here.
Moving away from a narrow conception of public safety that relies on policing and punishment and investing in a community's actual safety net, things like stable housing, mental health services, and community organizations. The concept...
Okay, so there's a couple of things to say about this here, but obviously... What's so fascinating about this? I mean, I know this is like a classic, like an old, the left denies human nature, or rather they try to alter it, right? The Stalin had this idea of like the new man, essentially, right? It's a concept that's been around for some time, but it's about this, the way that not only the state, but for the sake of a greater entity of moving away from like the troubled past and all this stuff, we gotta reshape man in a new image, right? We gotta create a new man. The best way, of course, is to have a man which is rootless, He is, he lacks identity. He doesn't have an ethnic, you know, kind of a tradition or heritage to look back to. He's completely rootless. He's more easily controlled, therefore. He's preferably, of course, on the same page as these revolutionaries and stuff like that in many regards, but still complacent and not a revolutionary against the guard that, enforced the revolution to begin with. And so they have this view that, you know, You have to reshape. You have to create a new kind of individual versus like the right or the conservatives, whatever you want to kind of simplify some stuff. That they have like this idea that, well, you can't alter human nature. What's going to be is going to be, and you have to work with that. It's better to, you know, use those properties and understand what you're working with. And I think in this case, they have this idea that they. That like hardline criminals don't just, you know, exist, right? It's because of things all the time. It's because, that's why he mentions, like mental. If this person had gotten the help, the right mental health help when this person was 9 years old or something, he would never have turned to crime. It's like that kind of view of things. It's not this kind of, everything is malleable. You can change everything if you just step in at the right moment. Nothing is kind of written in stone, tabula rasa, kind of like everything is a blank slate. And so this new man concept can always be injected. So they see resources and education and all this stuff being poured into programs which are going to help everybody to be good human beings, essentially. That will do it. That's I think a lot of them actually believe that. Another huge portion of them believe not in that. They actually like the chaos. They actually like the anarcho, just chaotic conditions that comes out of this stuff. And they love the destruction. They love the burning and the violence and the raping and the murders and stuff. They get a kick out of that, right? It's people that are sick in here. And that's the problem, right? That you will have a fairly large... Now, there's people, of course, that can end up in a bad situation, whatever. Things after things lead to another, or they become drug addicts and they have to, you know, they do crime to get the money and to do drugs or whatever. Like, sure, there is some of that obviously happens. But there is also an element which is just like, it's a criminal element, which is just going to remain that. It doesn't matter how many things. Look at, for example, the tactics that Sweden is doing in many of these no-go zones and these Muslim gangs and stuff like that. You know, they have an approach that if we can just give them more, like if we can give them a good job, if we can give them, you know, if we can go out to these no-go zones with a bouncy castle and cinnamon rolls and lemonade, we can appeal to them. We can talk to them and we can change them. We can drive them away from criminality. It's this kind of self-examination of these people that they will always blame themselves. And it's always like Swedes' fault, and we are not doing enough, or the system is not doing enough, and it's our fault, the racism that they experience. That's the reason why these people lash out. And if we just bow down, if we just take the knee, you know, kneel before Zod, and give way to the demands, you know, negotiate, no, not really negotiate, but just give in to the demands that they have, then everything will be great, right? Everything will be wonderful. There won't be any problems. Crime will go out the window. We can all get along, right? We can truly live in a wonderful utopia where we have a lot of money and resources going into education and you know, programs where we, you know, play with colorful clay together and, you know, bullshit like that, right? I think this is delusional, but I think that a lot of them have convinced themselves that this is all that we have to do, right? And it's also not at the same time to say that everything that cops do is wonderful all the time. They're always right. Obviously not. That's not the issue. You gotta have a little nuance about this. But it's like these people truly just believe that there is no inherent criminality in some people's nature, which I just think is a wrong perception. And these people are going to, if they are able to pull off what they want to pull off here, I think that they're just going to be proven to them. They will, of course, always blame something as well. Well, it's because of some white supremacy thing or, you know, whatever. They always find some way of blaming the system or white people or something like that. But at the same time, if they pull this experiment off in Minnesota, which they're now seriously, like Lisa Bender, who's on the city council, she's the head of the city council in Minneapolis, she has spoken out about that. Maybe I should play that. She has spoken out about that too, regarding making white people feel uncomfortable, right? That if there is a problem, If there is a problem, then that is perceived a perceived problem within a certain portion of the population, then the right thing is not to fix that. The right thing is to The right thing is to subject white people to that level of uncomfortableness. Let me see if I can. Here it is. Examine. She was on like CNN and stuff like that. I guess it's a good time to talk about this. But since we're on the defund the police segment here, let's check out what she said. Now, again, she's the head of. Do they have it in the description? She's the head, I think, of the Minneapolis City Council. I think that's what she is. Listen to this here.
White person, I want to say.
I play this in Weekend Warrior, but this is good for you guys to hear if you didn't hear it there.
As a white person, I want to say to my white neighbors, if you're experiencing a fear or lack of safety for the first time, you're experiencing something that our neighbors of color live with every day. And I invite you to open your hearts and listen to our neighbors, to step back and center the voices of our communities that have been impacted by community violence and police violence in our efforts to move forward. And to examine your discomfort, to think with compassion what it has felt like to live with the fear that you may be feeling for the first time for your whole life, to fear for the lives of your children. That is my commitment, and I invite you all to join me in that work.
All right, so I see in chat here, fellow white and all that kind of stuff. Is it, now I try to find something. That, give me a link on that. Give me a link that shows that that's the case, because I couldn't find anything. I'm not saying you're wrong. I didn't see anything, but I just saw that. Put a link in chat. I'll pull that up. But let me do a couple of these on DLive here real quick. John Sachs at 1418 sends a diamond and says nailed it. You were right. Schiff is the mole rat. Yeah, was Schiff in there too? Adam Schiff. Maybe you're right. He's another funny guy to make fun of. Thank you, Joe Suska. Philosopher, can't speak today. Philosopher, rather. Sensei Diamond, no message. Thank you. Still keeping an eye, one of my eyes on the chat on the side regarding if anybody has a link of her particular origin, folks. Philosopher resub for 6 months as well. Thank you, Philosopher. Really appreciate that. Very kind of you. Scott 25 Sensei Diamond says BLM tweeting that all white people are Nazis. LOL. Is that the case? I'd love to see that. Let's see if I can find that later too. But yeah, but that's what they. I mean, that's what's coming. It doesn't. You know, the problem of the liberals. We heard it. It was from all these people. Who was it that that said that? Now there was. Was it Don Lemon who said the problem was like all, you know, white liberals is the big problem and stuff? He did, I mean, in other words, this all this groveling. Is like it doesn't matter. It doesn't. That's not the point, right? The point is to when you submit and you bow down, they just see you as weak, and they will continue to push. They will continue to do much more to make sure that you obey. Eventually, after some point, I think they'll just get angry that you don't put up any resistance, and soon enough, you'll just be you know, excited about doing some violent act against you, and they'll get a kick out of that instead. I just still don't see any links regarding Lisa Bender. Let's listen to that one more time. Actually, let's do the CNN. This is the CNN one. She was on CNN. Here we go. Check this out.
Do you understand that the word dismantle or police free also makes some people nervous? For instance, what if in the middle of the night my home is broken into? Who do I call?
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors. And I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege. I know that that comes from a place of privilege. I know that that comes from a place of privilege. I know that that comes from a place of privilege. Because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done. And so in the very immediate, we have to lean into whatever changes we can make in our existing police department. You know, I think we look to cities like Camden, New Jersey, that completely restructured their department as we build up systems. And we've already done that. We are not starting from scratch. We have invested in community-based safety strategies. We have knowledge in our community across the city. We've done an analysis of all the reasons people call 911.
Wonderful.
And have looked at ways we can shift the response away from armed police officers into a more appropriate response for mental health calls, for some domestic violence calls, for health-related issues.
All the talking points are the same for all of these people. Well, we just have, you know, we just have to deal with the mental health issue. And that's fine. And, you know, partially, I mean, there's some truth to it in the sense that most of these mental, you know, at a certain point, you know, society overall, whatever, like gave up on the idea of like mental institutions or asylums and stuff like that to a large degree, like we had, you know, earlier, you know, in the or later, maybe in the 20th century and stuff like that. Well, earlier, too. But then. They started with this medication trend instead, that if you had people that had, you know, psychosis or they had some kind of mental issues, you were like, you basically lobotomized them chemically and you got them dependent on some kind of medication for the rest of their lives. And they take that and either they became like a zombie or they became somewhat, you know, functioning, but just kind of chemically lobotomized, right? So partially it's true that they have given up on the way that we used to do things and you don't really do those kinds of things anymore. A lot of people with a lot of mental issues are kind of loose in society. So I'm not saying that the whole kind of concept is wrong, but it's this idea. They think that they think they will actually be able to get away from major criminality by just like inserting money into the right little pockets and sections. And this will just kind of magically go away. I mean, imagine if they do that, Minneapolis, right? And the people that choose to stay. I mean, the cops, I think the cops will just leave. I think just a slew of particularly white people. I made a tweet the other day, kind of, you know, somewhat, you know, cheeky or whatever to like fellow Swedish Americans in Minnesota. Like, hey, like just get out. Or I understand you want to stay and defend your city because it's you and you guys built it. It's, you know, but at the same time, just know that like, a lot of bad things are going to come out of this, right? You're going to have a massive, I think, criminal element that's going to be attracted to a place like Minneapolis. I mean, this is just insanity, right? And again, it's not to say that, you know, everything the cops do is great and, you know, there's no issue with anything. That's obviously wrong. But to have this as the solution, unbelievable, right? And also, again, she says that the fix is... She doesn't say what the fix is when the CNN host asks her. She just say, well, if white people feel uncomfortable, that's just how all non-white people feel all the time. So therefore, that's the right thing to do. If there is a perceived problem, take the problem and insert that upon white people so they feel bad as well. And that will take care of the problem. So it's not to solve the problem, it's revenge. That's the issue. It's to cause more people to feel the problem. That's what it's about. That's the right thing to do.
And so the groundwork is laid already in Minneapolis for us to build on that, to learn from folks around the world, but really also to listen to our community and put those community voices front and center as we build up those systems even further.
On a political point.
Wait, what did she say? As we build up our systems? Let me hear that again.
Community voices front and center as we build up those systems even further.
On a political point, as a Democrat, are you worried that you have just handed President Trump a great talking point or slogan or battle cry for his reelection to be able to say, see, Democrats...
Don't worry about all the dead, like the dead people and the dead cops in the last couple of the last week and a half, or all the people being targeted openly in the street, or the potential just massive crime wave that's going to come out of you just rearranging everything in Minneapolis. Let's not talk about that. The problem is, did you hand a talking point to Trump? That's what they're most worried about. Very, very sane. Very sane.
Want to get rid of your police. First, they come to take away your guns, as he says. Now they're taking away your police officers. Does that concern you?
You know, that's why I said at the beginning that it starts with telling the truth. And I think we've been afraid.
The Talmudic truth.
Of a lot of things, of that, those political dynamics, of what would happen in our city, you know, to have our police force hearing these kinds of words. And that fear is what we have to really work through. Because again, that's the fear that so many in our community are facing. That's the fear that we see, you know, from George Floyd's family or the family of Jamar Clark or Justine Damon, who were also killed by Minneapolis police, who have told us we never want to see this happen again. And so those efforts that we have taken so far to stop this, to make sure no one is killed in this way, have not worked. So our statement is to try something new.
All right. And again, I mean, it's been tiny, right? It's been tiny. the percentage. The graph has just gone down and down and down, and it's been like it's nothing essentially at this point. And of course, a lot of that is because of a pressure already that exists, right? It exists within you know, the police force, and they know, to a certain extent, that you don't want to be the next person that shows up on the front page all over the world at this point and get accused of being some, you know, just sicko, and you'll be rotting away in a cell for the rest of your life. I don't know. It's just, wow, you can't make this up. And they're moving so fast as well. They're moving so fast. Let me just see here. There was a couple of, let me import these clips real quick here. Realize I didn't do that. I want to have these in here because we're playing this a bit later in the show. So anyway, so that's Lisa Bender. Let me get back on track here on the stories. Yeah, so here's, that's right. Here, and they did set up a website. That's what I wanted to show you guys as well. They did set up a website, Defund 12, right? 12 is code for police. Email government officials and council members to reallocate egregious police budgets towards education, social services, and dismantling racial inequality via this crowdsourced truth. Sorry, tool, crowdsourced tool. And of course, you can choose your state here, and then you could, you know, everything is done for you. Just click here, and then here's the letter. You email that. It's all these templates, right? So a bunch of resources have been pulled together by these people. Now, they're good, of course, putting pressure and activism and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that you know, kind of aids and helps in the process, frankly, to create a perception that most people who are in the political system think that this is what they want and stuff like that. Again, I think there's been massive pushback against that. This is not over. This is just beginning. That's what I think. Anyway, Scott 25, I couldn't find, regarding your diamond there that you sent, you said BLM tweeting that all white people are Nazis. I don't doubt that at all, of course. I search on Twitter. I can't find that specific tweet. If you have it, just post it in chat and I'll pull it up on screen. Okay, what else do we have here? Psylosopher gifts 5 1-month subs to Bezo, I guess it is. Bezo, Shotgun, 1418, Jezzy. Taylor Swift is a dude. The Molly Q... Cools or ool cules, I guess it is, molecules. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Very, very kind of you, philosopher. John Sachs has sent another diamond. It says, it will never be enough. They all need to go back. Yep. Shroom sends another diamond. It says, wall off these cities and strip them of police. Muhaha. Yeah, I mean, maybe it will be, what is it? Escape from Minneapolis. Maybe that will be the sequel. We'll see what we're looking at here. We have that thing we're going to cover later too—the autonomous zone that they created in Seattle. These leftists, it's Antifa people, hilarious. Shroon sends a diamond and says, "Kiss my ass, Mayor Karen." Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's crazy. She's not the mayor, I think, though. But yeah, she's like on the head of the council, city council, I think, something there. And we're good to see you, Shroon. Pyrrhus 777 sends 1, 2, 3 diamonds in a row. Thank you. Pyrrhus, much appreciated. And stuff like that is here as well. He sends a diamond and says, possible civil war, question mark, and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I think this is the beginning of it. I think this is, we're just seeing the initial stages. I mean, either side will not back down here. This is going to escalate. Historically, it just seems kind of inevitable. I mean, I know that there's manipulation kind of behind the scenes and stuff, but the fact that, you know, these sides harden, you know, at various times throughout history, and then eventually it just builds up to such a boiling point where they just collide. The difference now, of course, as well, is that a lot of these far-left groups and the communists and Bolsheviks out there and stuff like that, those are kind of involved in this ongoing coup right now. And of course, they have the media behind them. They have the banks behind them. They have Goldman Sachs. They have BlackRock behind them. They're getting millions. Disney, like the world's major companies around the world are on the same page as these anarcho-communists and Antifa people and BLM and all that shit. So it's not them fighting the establishment. It's the establishment fighting the rest of white people, because a lot of them have now aligned with, of course, non-white ethnic groups within the Western nations. And so the boogeyman is ultimately the white person is the boogeyman. They're the problem. They're the target. All of this is about white people, to get them out of the picture, to remove them, to get them to back down or submit to, you know, take a knee, go down or kneel in front of this new order that's coming. All right, Purist 777, another diamond. Thank you, sir. And then he sends a Ninjagini as well. Thank you, Purist 777. Really appreciate that. He says, Robespierre headed the Department of Public Safety. Don't let them form a new police. You know, that's a very good point. And that's where I think that this is going, Purist. I think that one of the first things that would happen if they are successful in this coup and this takeover, and it won't be everywhere at the same time, it'll be gradually, certain regions, you'll see things, places transform, and as a segment of the population moves away from there and another comes in, you'll see a more geographically much bigger differences, both politically and economically and in crime and stuff like that. It's already kind of happening in a way, a natural kind of segregation on different lines. Mostly is ethnic lines, but sometimes it's of course, you know, class and stuff that happens too. You know, like wealthy people, they live in protected neighborhoods and stuff like that. Also, ironically, a consequence of this will be that private security goes up, right? You will have, you've seen that in through Hollywood movies and stuff, this predictive kind of idea that in the future, that's like this bad fascist government, whether it's like the Hunger Games or even like Elysium or something like that. It's like the rich people, they're over there or up there or somewhere, you know, separate. And but they have their private security. They have private police force. They have like the black waters of this world protecting them and stuff like that. Ironically, that's what obviously partially this is going to create, right? It's going to be a class different whether or not you can get protection, essentially. And it's coming at the hands of the left as the primary activist. But keep in mind, they're being backed and funded by the very banking establishment that they claim to oppose, right? I mean, how do you square that circle when you have like the biggest companies in the world are on the same page as these people? They're donating. They're sending millions in. You can have someone, a communist, like Vouch raising like $20,000 to like BLM on his stream, right? To BLM and to get the criminals out that committed you know, acts of violence and stuff like that. Get them, bail them out, right? And it's like, why are you raising $20,000? I mean, I know you want to take part of this and you think it's great or whatever, but why are you raising that when you have Disney injecting $5 million into the very same thing? You know, when they say for racial inequality and education and stuff, they're talking about the anti-white system that's going into place. That's why you have the Black Rocks, the largest shadow bank in the world, on the same page as these people. The biggest financial international banking institutions, just, you know, if you look back in history, just like they did back in the Bolshevik days, 1916-17. Red Bank out of Stockholm, Aschberg, you know, a guy who came to Stockholm, I forget when, his family, Jewish guy, set up a bank in Stockholm, Red Bank it was called. He funded them. Kuhn Loeb funded them. Max Warburg funded them. Rothschilds, but through like the Warburgs and stuff, they funded the Bolshevik Revolution, right? We're seeing the same thing happening, essentially. And these leftists, they think that they're like, you know, yeah, fight the power and, you know, crush the man and stuff. And then they're like literally being funded by the biggest banking institutions that this planet has ever seen. It's pathetic, right? It's pathetic. Anyway, thank you for that, Pyrrhus. Appreciate that. Black Philip sends a Diamond. BLM's founder's life. Well, let me pull up that link, see what that is. Let me see if I can copy that. No, I have to select it. Hang on. 1 second. Let me see what this is. I'll get to this article in a little bit here on law enforcement. Alicia Garza is here. Let's see what this is. I'm not sure what this is here. I see it's Brittany Pettibone. Let me go full screen on this here. Where are we? There we are. 2 hours ago, an edit was made to the Wikipedia page of Alicia Garza, excuse me, one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. What was removed? The part where Alicia Garza is a self-proclaimed Marxist writer. Well, all right. Well, there we go. I don't know why they need to hide that, though, because, I mean, this is like they're cool with this stuff, right? But this is what they do. This is the memory hole. They scrub it from public perception. Self-proclaimed Marxist writer, yeah, from blackpast.org profile. I mean, they're communists, right? They're communists. This is what you're witnessing is a communist takeover, and that's why you will have people like from Vouch to anarcho-communist and Antifa people they don't care that it's being funded by the biggest banks and the biggest transnational corporations in the world, because they're liking this. It's fine. It's fun to them. We're winning. They're, of course, dumb and useful idiots who are pretending or deluding themselves that somehow they're not being used. They're not being useful idiots. They're not being pawns. It's we who are doing this, right? Anyway, Garza was born in L.A., California, 1981. She has mixed race background. Oh, good. Her father is white and Jewish, while her mother is black. Garza describes herself as a queer social justice activist and Marxist. Okay. Well, why am I... Imagine my shock. Well, thank you for that, Black Philip. I appreciate that. Good link. John Saxa, 1418, sends a diamond and says, I moved because of my fear, raped and beat because I was white. My young life was horrible. Raped? Really? My condolences if that's true. I don't know where you moved from, but yeah, you say, I moved because of my fear. Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, these are the conditions that are being created. Very sorry to hear that if that's what you've gone through. Anyway, thank you, John Sachs. I appreciate that. Thank you for the Ninja Guinea. And so, sorry about all that shit. That's amazing. Amazingly horrifying. John Sachs again gives a diamond and says, she needs to shut up. I'll show her scared. Yeah, talking about Lisa Bender. Shroon, a diamond and says, dead blacks killed by a BLM don't matter to her. Well, it doesn't, right? And we saw that with David Dorn and stuff like that. Actually, quite a sizable lineup on his, funeral, I guess. His observance? And most people don't care about it. It's about the destruction of something, not the building of something, right? Thank you, Shroon. Mr. Noseberg sends a Ninjagini. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Good to see you as well. He says they will disband local police or they will quit on their own and will be replaced by federal police. Yeah, it's actually very interesting why they're doing that. I think they have a much bigger agenda that's being played out here in terms of the kind of security forces that we'll see in the future. Now, there's a UN kind of connection here, too. I hope to get that in a moment. I've actually been a bit slow at the end here and got trapped in some tangents. I hope to get to that here just in a moment. But I think you're right. I think something else, not only federal police, we're not even talking about some international security group or something. Mr. Noseberg again with the diamond and says they won't give up power. Absolutely not. They thrive on it. Frank Pliskin, a diamond. Hashtag, is it AWAN, Awan hashtag. I think it's a 4chan op. I'll check that out in a moment. Let me copy that. Thank you, Frank Pliskin. Appreciate that. Shroon, another diamond. My wife lived through Cultural Revolution 1.0. Yeah, so she will know then what this is about and where this is going. Thank you, Shroon. And stuff like that. Sends a diamond. It says, we need red eyes. Thanks. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Blitz777, a Ninjagini. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Saying fence sitting will be impossible. Yeah, I think it was you who said that last time as well. I think it's a good point, though. That's what's happening. Absolutely. Thank you, Blitz. I appreciate that. Thank you for the Ninjagini. A big black man with AIDS is here as well. Good to see you. A diamond. It says, Blitz77, I initially read face sitting will be. Did you pick that up? What are you saying here? Blitz, I initially read face sitting will be dot, dot, dot. I get, maybe there's a continuation of that. Yeah, so I wish they had a little bit of longer message when you give the diamonds and stuff, because sometimes that's cut off. Anyway, thank you. A big black man with AIDS, appreciate that. Bobby D sends 1, 2, 3 Ninjagini's all at once. Thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Psylosopher gifts 1 month sub to Bobby D as well. Thank you for that, Psylosopher. Appreciate it. Let me move through here somewhat quick here too. Cops, of course, you guys saw this was canceled. Anything that humanizes cops, anything that shows cops in a good light or what they actually do, needs to be taken away. All these TV shows are being uprooted. It's a first way of dehumanizing a group. It's also kind of they're a symbol of like law and order and structure and ultimately kind of like an orderly Western civilization in a way. Doesn't mean the police are good or I'm trying to claim that they don't do anything wrong, because obviously they do. Shit happens and there's crooked cops and there's good cops and there's corrupt cops and honest cops. You're going to get the whole gambit, right? But it's this idea that you just don't put them in a light where you can connect with them or understand what they're doing or their plight. It's the first step towards demonization, and that's why they're doing shit like this. So here's this article I was talking about. Rights group urge UN, United Nations, to investigate U.S. police violence. I also heard that the, I think it was the parents of George Floyd that were calling for the UN to just come in altogether as a security force into the U.S. You know, so send in the blue helmets and the white tanks, you know, and just take full control. Relatives of victims and activist groups called on Monday for the top UN human rights body to launch an investigation into police violence and repression of protests in the United States. How about that? Wow. The joint letter calling for a special session of the UN Human Rights Council was sent to its 47 member states, the American Civil Liberties Union, the International Federation of Human Rights, and World Organization Against Torture were among some 600 groups that signed. The Geneva Forum, which is due to meet June 15, can hold a special session if requested by one-third of its members. Interesting. The U.S. quit the forum 2 years ago, alleging an anti-Israeli bias. That's right. You have, you know, this is, it's kind of interesting how all this is weaving into as well, because if they left and it's over, you know, some the Zionist issue or whatever, which is just dumb, like U.S. should be there over its own issues, not another country's business. I mean, really? I mean, it's so dumb, right? And, but then they will be removed as a voice in that process, you know? It's almost like you think it's a plan. Someone, it's almost like you could say someone knows where this is going. Interesting, huh? I just saw Mark Dice tweeting this. And I thought, you know, just to show you guys that it's like, sure, you can blame this on mental health. And if these people just had more money, just more money and more resources, it wouldn't be happening. But that's just not the truth, right? He said, coming to a neighborhood near you when they defunded the police. Gruesome, so look away. Yeah, but this is, look at this.
Oh!
No! Senseless violence.
Yo!
Look at that, look at the guy filming there, Jim. Listen to him.
Yo! Oh! Yes!
Yeah, so, you know, they're just peacefully protesting. Let them be. There are sick people out there, and they get a kick out of hurting you and raping you and damaging your life and burning your shit down and taking your, you know, like all this stuff, right? They get a kick out of this. And that's just what it is, human nature. You're going to get some defective humans, right? And you're just not going to fix that by just investing into mental health programs so that you can call somebody. At some point, you just, it's just a line of force. That's the ultimate thing at the end that people will understand. And even then they won't, right? And they will go against it and they'll try to kill cops or whatever, but then they'll be, you know, put away. But it doesn't matter. You won't be able to stop it. Yeah, Mark tweeted out this, white people wash the feet of blacks in another humiliating public display of submission. This isn't about justice. This is about turning white people into a hated underclass. Yep, it's correct as usual, Mark. We've seen a lot of course, white people submitting. We covered a lot of that in the latest Weekend Warrior 2, so go check that out. We went through a lot of the clips and stuff of things that have been coming out. People kneeling, we have some more of this here today too. But yeah, kneeling before Zod. Ilhan Omar, of course, jumping on this too. And of course, there's bigger boogeymen in the U.S. and stuff, you know, people controlling things behind the scenes, but she's kind of a loudmouth that is, I think, to a certain extent, kind of wheeled out in the front so that all the conservatives can keep their time on you know, attacking her. Doesn't mean, of course, that she's not annoying, and doesn't mean that, you know, she needs to be criticized for some stuff. But just listen to this. Like, listen to what she says here.
What I do know is that for the last 25 years, I have lived as a black person in this country. I have lived as a mother raising black children. So I do know what it means to be black in America. I know what our young children go through because I was an adolescent interfacing with the police department here in Minneapolis. I know my silence will contribute to complacency. And I know that none of you fought so hard to get me elected so that I can co-sign on a system that continues to oppress us. What I do know.
There you go. So, you know, it's interesting that there's still, I mean, millions of a million people every year comes to the United States, and a majority of that is from third world countries, non-white countries. A million people. That's just a legal thing. A million major cities being imported every year to the United States as the demographics are not only just slowly transforming, they're rapidly transforming. And that's why we're seeing this now popping up to the surface in 2020. This is just, it will get worse and worse and worse the fewer original stock there is in the country. And they'll be targeted like they are in South Africa. But if it's so bad, if it's so just unbearable, why don't you go back? Why do you want to stay and be suppressed and subjected to all this white supremacy, right? Yes, Haley Peterson said here, a Somali immigrant who was elected to Congress thinks she's she's oppressed by the system. I mean, it's a good point, right? Like, you literally got elected. You're up there on one of the major pulpits that you can have within the American political system, screaming. But it's about transforming. It's about changing. It is about uprooting, destroying, tearing down, breaking apart. They get a kick out of this. Don't fool yourself and think that, oh, they just want to change things so that it will get better for everybody. No, this is about, it's about revenge. Revenge. All right. Frank Pliskin sends a diamond and says, all whites are Nazis. I want, yeah, hashtag. Yeah, I'll check that out. Sorry, I forgot about that. Let me check the hashtag. Actually, let me do that. Oh, God. Sometimes search really sucks. I got to say. On Twitter. Yeah, okay. Okay, let me see what's this here. One of the first ones that come out. Rabbi J. Peterstein says, don't forget, all whites are Nazis. Awan. All, yes, all whites are Nazis. You know what? I think I for one welcome this. Not because the label is true, but because of the fact that this is how they really think, right? And what do we do with Nazis? Well, as we've seen over the last couple of days, people who are tweeting out, D-Day pictures when Normandy is storming the beaches of Normandy and stuff, and comparing that and thinking that this is what Antifa was. And the biggest Antifa operation in history was storming the beaches of Normandy. I'm sure you saw some of those tweets. This is how dumb people are, deranged they are. But the point is, if you call somebody Nazi, that gives you it opens up the window of dehumanizing them, right? Saying, in fact, and of course, interestingly, you could reverse this in terms of the group here and say, supposedly this one group called other people subhuman and stuff, right? But now they're just twisting that and they're subject and saying, you know, if you're Nazi, you're subhuman, you're worse than, you deserve violence. In fact, we need to violently overthrow you and topple you. I'm not saying I welcome the violence that they're saying here, but I'm saying, if this is the strategy that they want to take moving forward, of calling all whites Nazis, and again, as we've seen, doesn't matter how liberal you are, doesn't matter, you will be lumped in with people just because you're white, right? Yeah. So this is going on. Thank you for the link there, reminding me again. So this is going around, I guess. White lives don't matter. ADL. That was funny. All right, you get the idea. Thank you for that. Whiteness is violence. Yeah, is it a 4chan troll? Is that what you said then? It might be, right? Yeah, it could be. All right. Well, anyway, get it out there. It certainly doesn't hurt, I think. Yeah, here's the is this the one? Mission failed. He's an Antifa guy trying to derail this, or is this, okay, this is the counter post on 4chan to make sure that people think this is what they wanted. All right, anyway, let me move on here. I appreciate that, though. That's fun. Thank you, Frank. Jaron Saxa, again, sends a dominant BLM plus Ilhan Omar equals terrorist. I don't doubt it. Okay, let me watch this one here a little bit, too. This is kind of funny. Let me pause this. I'm going to watch a little bit of a segment from this. Merriam-Webster to redefine racism after Missouri woman's plea. CBS News. Let me see. Did I not highlight in this? Maybe I did not here. Let me scroll down a bit. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary first defines racism as, quote, A belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. It's fairly, I mean, it's fairly objective in a way, right? Despite the fact that the negative connotation of the term, because this, of course, could be applied to anybody. It doesn't say in there that that it's white. This is what it's become to mean, of course, that it's white people that think that they are superior to others. That's what race is. That's what it's come to mean, right? Anyway, they're talking about this activist here, Mitchum, Kennedy Mitchum, who's advocating for this redefinition. Mitchum, who recently graduated from Drake University, no cultural Marxism there, with a degree in law, politics, and society, said the definition was too simple. So a couple of weeks ago, I said this is the last argument I'm going to have about this. I know what racism is. I've experienced it time and time again in a lot of different ways. So enough is enough. So I emailed them about how I felt about it, saying that this needs to change, she said. Peter Sokolovsky, editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster, said in an email statement to the Associated Press that the dictionary's second definition is, quote, divided to express first, explicit institutional bias against people because of their race, and second, a broader implicit bias that can also result in asymmetrical power structure. This second definition covers the sense that Ms. Mitchum was seeking, and we will make its wording even more clear in our next release, he said. This is the kind of continuous revision that is part of the work. Look at that. That's why we call these people revisionists, right? Things don't mean what they used to mean anymore, right? This is the kind of continuous revision. It's progress. It never stops. We keep moving and changing and updating and fixing and putting in the memory hole and hiding and covering up and lying, and just like that post that who was it that sent that to me regarding the screenshot, right, of Alicia Garza? Put in the memory hole. Just deny it. Scrub it. Remove it. Don't say anything about it. Just cover it up. Change it. That's how you change history. This is how they write history, right? Update history, too. This is the kind of continuous revision that is part of the work of keeping the dictionary up to date based on rigorous criteria and research we employ in order to describe the language as it is actually used. Oh, you don't think the goalposts have moved on the definitions of these terms already? I mean, it's explicitly anti-white these days. That's what it is. Let me play this. Actually, regarding the cops, let me play this. There's a couple of New York police cops. Did I say police cops? A couple of New York police officers. Holy smokes. Was upset about this defunding thing. I forgot to play that, I realized. Saw it in my notes here. Listen to this here.
This isn't stained by someone in Minneapolis. It's still got a shine on it. And so do theirs. So do theirs. Stop treating us like animals and thugs and start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here today to say. We've been left out of the conversation. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive. Nobody talks about all the police officers that were killed in the last week in the United States of America, and there were a number of them. We don't condone Minneapolis. We roundly reject what he did as disgusting. It's disgusting. It's not what we do. It's not what police officers do. Our legislators abandoned us. The press is vilifying us. Well, you know what, guys? I'm proud to be a cop. And I'm going to continue to be proud to be a cop until the day I retire. And that's all I have to say.
Yep, there we go. So that's part of the dehumanizing process that I talked about too. And I mean, it's true. I mean, there's so many police interaction each year. It's in the millions, and then the few things that do go wrong are just tinier and tinier and tinier, right? The graph of what they're actually complaining about, you know, BLM, it's like this little, I don't have the meme in front of me. Someone posted it the other day again, showing the black on black crime and, you know, all these different, you know, combinations of things and and the interactions where the cops had actually done, you know, bad things or whatever. It's minimal, right? It's minimal. But I want to play, actually, there's a whole, it's like a 53, 54 minute long documentary here on CBS News. And I wanted to play just a short segment as well of what's like what's happening right now in the media with this anti-white stuff. They'll be talking with this woman, Robin DiAngelo. She wrote the book White Fragility. She's one of these two go-to people. Subtitle is Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism, right? We're fragile. If you have an issue being replaced or open borders or seeing your ancestors being toppled and the statues torn out, well, then you're fragile. You're just fragile. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of becoming a minority? It's like, yes, absolutely. I don't want my kids to grow up as a minority. I don't know why anybody would want to be in a minority in the country. I mean, it just proves that most of the people that come to the West, they're very well off. And it's not that bad. Otherwise, they would leave. The point is they get things when they complain. They whine and they scream and they bullhorn, like, demands and scream. You know, instead of doing something themselves, they realize if you just scream loud enough about something, they can effect change. And that's what they're doing. Anyway, so listen to this little clip here from this piece. Oh, let me see. Did I not have that pulled up wise? Oh, wait, sorry. Here we go.
If you answer, well, because there's something wrong with black people, then you're answering with a racist idea.
I would urge white Americans to remove the claim, I'm not racist, from our vocabularies.
What are some of the excuses that you've heard when people say, I'm not racist because?
Well, I've been to Costa Rica. I'm a vegetarian. I'm from Canada. I had a black roommate in college. I was a minority in Japan, so I know what it means to be black. It just goes on and on, and it's
I saw
absurd.
Something
it's
in your book that said, I marched in the 60s.
I marched
My
in
cousin
the
60s. Is married to a black man. Yeah. Most black people I know, myself included, are hearing from their white friends who are asking for guidance about what they should do. How can they be better? Is that fair?
I know.
I think people...
Bow to Zog. I mean, Zod, right? That's what it is. That's what you need to do. Bow to Zod.
Well, they don't have to go to that proximate black friend in order for that black person to teach them about racism. Because first and foremost, not every black person is an expert on racism.
Oh, really? Very good point. Now, because white people, of course, have never experienced racism.
Fair point. Just because you're a person of color does not mean you're an expert on that topic.
I offer white people this opening question. Number one question is, what do I do? And that is, how have you managed to be a full functioning adult in 2020 and not know what to do?
They're asking the question at this particular time because we just saw the very horrible murder of a black man in a very graphic way at the hands of a police officer. Is that the point?
She didn't say white police
officer. Well, how many times have we seen a very graphic, horrible murder at the hands of a police officer? How many times have we reacted when Colin Kaepernick respectfully went down on one knee? Did we ask, help me understand why he would do that? Or did we attack him and invalidate him? And yeah, did he lose his job for that?
Totally didn't have all the companies behind him and Nike and all that shit, right? It's like... Still pretend that these are victims, like that example she takes out, it's just extraordinary. Like, what world do these people live in? They're insane.
What about family members? You know, it often comes up at the family dinner table.
Yeah,
everybody has an uncle fill in the blank.
That's right. The white old uncle who's like, you know...
Most white Americans can relate to that family dinner when Uncle Bob says thing and mm-hmm. five people just cringe,
totally.
But nobody says anything. Why would interrupting Uncle Bob's racism ruin your dinner and not interrupting his racism not ruin your dinner?
Let me just say, Gil.
All right. So you get the idea. That's the white fragility, author right there, right? Listen to what MSNBC segment had here the other day. What's his calling him? R.E. What's his name? I forget his last name. Listen to this here.
Well, if you think you're not racist,
You could be right, but in this day and age, that's simply not good enough. Up next, why it's time to check our bias at the door and lean into the discomfort that is necessary for real change.
lean into the discomfort. That's right. We got to get you uncomfortable. This is just the same thing that Lisa Bender was talking about in Minneapolis. You know, white people will shove you into this uncomfortable situation right here. And now you, now you can suck it because this is, and again, if it's so horrible and so bad, Are there other places? I mean, there's other nations which are full of people that presumably, you know, as of your stock, and you wouldn't feel these. Do these things ever enter into these people's minds? Or no, of course not, because it's about breaking it down. So this is the cultish behavior of this new submission, this bow before Zod kind of cult that we're seeing rising out of this here too. A New York Times columnist is demanding that white people ditch their family members who don't support Black Lives Matter. And it's literally just what this lady said in here, right? You gotta confront the uncle. He's wrong, and you have to threaten now, according to the New York Times, to leave him behind, or to uproot your relationship with him. Ditch them, including, of course, sons or daughters or mothers or brothers or stuff like that. This is a classic cult behavior, right? This is what cults do. They ask you to give up on family members that are beginning to have some troubled questions about you, and saying, you know what, I don't know what you're up to there, but this is not going in a very good place here. I'm worried about your opinions and your thoughts about this here. I think you should rethink some of these things, or here are some counter arguments or something, right? No, just ditch them, leave them behind. And then you have that initiation ritual that we played. I think it was it last Friday, especially the Swedish cop, the police cop, the woman who said with the white silence is violence sign at a BLM thing in Stockholm. We played the clip. I don't have it now here, but. And then afterwards, when she's done kneeling and bowing to Zod, then all of a sudden she's love bombed, right? She's crying, and everybody's she's initiated into the cult, is to reaffirm and to solidify her new relationship to the cult that she just entered into. Positivity here, you did the right thing. It's to emotionally bond you to others and to your decision making process. So you're not, there's no question marks that did I do the right thing here or not? No, it's very conscious, the kind of things that is happening and that you're seeing here. All right, let me see here. Let me go through a couple of more of these here. So Dr. Silberman, a diamond, thank you. No message attached to that. I see Pyrrhus 777 sends a Ninja Guinea. Again, two Ninja Guineas. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Much obliged. Three. Holy smokes. Thank you, Pyrrhus. I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. So, excuse me. We had Christopher Columbus statue in the northern end of Boston being beheaded here. I think it's overnight, which of course is, I kind of made a joke that it's obviously this guy's. Do you remember David Levitt? He's the guy who entered into Target and approached this young Target employee. He wanted some item in the store according to the demo price or something like that. Remember, he called the cops on her and he was tweeting up a storm that I forget what it was, some electrical toothbrush or some shit like that. Same guy now tweeted this out. And I'm thinking, my thinking is it's David Levitt that did it. It's David Levitt that beheaded Columbus. Even though the possibility that Columbus might have been a crypto, I think David Levitt, he beheaded the Columbus statue to get some social cred here, because it was his photo that ended up being used as the featured moment or event or whatever they call it on Twitter. His post was one of the first ones. Have they moved it now? Okay, they moved it now. It was at the top before, right? And he had the photo and everything. So I don't know if he did it, but it wouldn't surprise me, right? Breaking, overnight Christopher Columbus statue in Boston North End vandalized, found beheaded. Here's some video of this here. This is what they're doing, right? What they're going to do is what they're doing. There we go. Great, huh? You enjoying this? Someone did give a white pill, though. And they said, great, now we can actually put up a statue to Leif Erikson. The Vikings discovered it way before Columbus did. But it's the point. You get the idea, right? It's the point. It's the point. It's a symbolic gesture. Here's what Boston Mayor Marty Walsh said about the Christopher Columbus statue. Very, very convenient. Listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we don't condone any vandalism here in the city of Boston, and that needs to stop. We are going to be taking the statue down this morning, putting it into storage to assess the damage of the statue. This particular statue has been subject of repeated vandalism here in Boston. And given the conversations that we're certainly having right now in our city of Boston and throughout the country, we're also going to take time to assess the historic meaning of the statue. So I'm going to leave it with that.
Yeah, what does that mean? Listen to that.
Throughout the country, we're also going to take time to assess the historic meaning of the statue.
We're also going to assess and take some time reviewing, rather, the whether the statue should actually go back or not, right? So this is what if you vandalize something often enough, eventually they will give up, right? That's the point. Give way, negotiate with terrorists, just back down. If they scream loud enough and do enough damage, then eventually you'll have to remove it, right? Yep, this is very, very, very worrying. In fact, I think this is the same one, yeah. A statue of Christopher Columbus in Richmond, Virginia, was vandalized, torn down, and thrown in a lake by protesters overnight. Get the idea, right? So it continues. They burnt the I don't know how badly damaged it is. I should look into that. But the Confederate Museum in Richmond, of course, and also other statues, Confederate statues in Virginia, in Richmond, have been toppled. Showed this, I think, a few days ago. But just as a reminder that this is happening all over the place. Now, Chicago is interesting. I had a little bit of a run in here. Mayor Lori Lightfoot and Alderman Raymond Lopez. Alderman is actually an old Anglo-Saxon term for basically an assistance to over a certain portion of a shire, I think, to like the king and stuff. Like, there's an older term, but they still exist. These racist things still exist in some areas. Alderman, can you believe it? There's a guy called Raymond Lopez who have had a foul-mouthed argument over looting. The looting that we saw in Chicago, right? And remember, there was like a record number of people shot in Chicago over the weekend and stuff. Nothing's being done about that. In fact, again, they just say, you know what, let's just let's just decommission the cops. Let's just defund them and disband the cops, right? But anyway, there's an audio outtake that we can listen to here. So it's during a conference call with all 50 aldermen on May 31st to discuss the city's response to the looting. Lopez accused the mayor of being unprepared when looting spread from downtown to the neighborhoods that weekend. Looters pillaged shops throughout the city as peaceful protesters were taken to the streets on the last weekend in May in memory of George Floyd. Let's listen to the little interaction here.
Thank you, Alderman. We'll go to Alderman Lopez and tell Harold and Thompson. Alderman Lopez.
Thank you. You know, before we started this, we're having a conversation about what's going on in our neighborhood, and it's heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching. But this is what I was trying to get at this morning, is that when downtown is in lockdown, our neighborhoods are next. And our failure to fully get ready for what's going on in the neighborhoods, we're seeing this destruction and we're thinking that it's going to somehow end tonight. We have seen where in other cities this has gone on for days. And we need to come up with a better plan for days, at least for the next 5 days, to try and stabilize our communities. Right now, Mayor, back in the yards, right, in Brighton Park, from Halsted almost all the way through to Kedzie along 47th Street has been a virtual war zone. Ashland Avenue, which borders between me and Alderman Taylor, has had 400 people in four lanes of traffic almost for an hour. And we can't expect our police, and I don't fault them at all, to
it's
be
coming
able to control
up here,
this.
Interaction.
But I know that we asked our faith base yesterday to stand at the front line between police and looters and rioters. And I am simply not comfortable telling my churches, those people, to be the intermediary in the middle of a riot that's citywide. We need something better, because right now we only have 370 whatever National Guards on standby. Half our neighborhoods are already obliterated. It's too late. We have to come up with a better plan, because once they're done looting and rioting and whatever's going to happen tonight, God help us, what happens when they start going after residents, going into the neighborhoods?
Right.
Once they start trying to break down people's doors where they think they got something, or, you know, we know that people are here to antagonize and incite, and you've got them all pumped tonight. Today, they're not going to go to bed at 8 o'clock. They're going to turn their focus in the neighborhoods. I've got gangbangers with AK-47s walking around right now, just waiting to settle some scores. What are we going to do, and what do we tell our residents other than good faith people stand up? It's not going to be enough.
Thank you, Alderman. Next question.
What are you going to do,
well,
Mayor?
No, I want an answer.
What are you going to do about it?
You commented on everybody. I want an answer. It's not something you ignore. This is a question that I have.
I think you're 100% full of shit, is what I think. If you think
Well, fuck you then. Who are you to tell me I'm full of shit?
And if you think we were not ready and we stood by and let the neighborhood go up, there's nothing intelligent that I can say to you.
Because, well, maybe you should come out and see what's going on.
This is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I understand you want to preen. I understand that you think that you...
Mayor, you need to check your fucking attitude. That's what you need to do.
Every single person
right now...
It's the woman he's talking to.
You need to check your attitude. Wait a minute. I'm being disrespectful. She just told me I'm full of shit. No. You cannot tell me I'm full of shit.
Come on, man. Everybody, come on, let's calm down.
Come on,
now.
Wait a minute. We recognize certainly the devastation in your neighborhood. And
yeah,
we
recognize the devastation, but we're not going to address it. You know, Mayor did nothing wrong. She didn't do nothing. And that, of course, that's true, right? She didn't actually do anything about it. They don't know how to respond. Mayor Lori Lightfoot. This is the mayor here, Chicago, that they're talking about. And, of course, you had, let me just pull that in real quick here to get you guys to underline this idea. Chicago sees 18 homicides in deadliest day in 60 years. This is just an article from yesterday, right? Known as one of the most gun violent cities in America, Chicago recently marked a new grim milestone with 18 homicides in a single day, officials said. And of course, it's a true talking point. I know a lot of, you know, GOP cucks and MAGA conservatives and stuff say it, but it's true. I mean, if they cared about black people, then they would say shit about this too, right? But they don't, because it's black on black violence, and that's not pertinent to the agenda, the narrative, which is an anti-white narrative. They're using these kinds of examples to break down, you know, Western society. It's being used as a hammer and a sickle against white civilization. That's what this is about, ultimately. Here's, of course, also the mayor of Chicago here recently. I don't think we ever played that, but she's saying that she's pledging her allegiance to the New World Order. Listen to this here.
With the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance, and you make it a mandate. And then you do training, particularly in the city, I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly. And you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. And then I think that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. And then I think you have the inspector general do some spot audits to make sure that.
So what did you mean by that? I don't know. Right. Do they know what they're talking about? I mean, they are building a new world, and this is how it looks like, although she calls it good governance and shit like that, but that's what it means to them. The old New World Order conspiracies are popping up here, folks, and they're building this. This is how it looks like. It means every statue needs to come down. They start with white people, but I do think at the end of the day, once they've ruined things for white people and European civilization, Western civilization, they will come for everything else as well. They're looking at reshaping and reforming. I think right now they're encouraging roots and heritage for certain perceived grievance groups and ethnic groups because it benefits their, they can have a tighter sense of unity and sense of victimhood is in a sense, right? Which turns them psychologically, this is a sound thing to do for them. If your goal is to break down Western civilization, you make sure that they solidify in their position that they're the victims and they need, in fact, to attack the system that made them into victims or keeping them as victims, right? So you encourage roots and heritage for them while you remove it and attack it for the others. But I think at the end of the day, this new man that I talked about earlier in the show, that entails everybody's heritage being torn down at the end of it. Ultimately, I don't have, it's not my job to I can see it and say it when it happens. I don't see it right now, but if it does happen, I'll talk about it. I still think it's a shame, but it's not my job to try to salvage or save that. We have our hands full trying to preserve everything that they're taking from us right now. So that won't happen. But it's a new man. It's a new order. It's a completely new way of running things. And it's communism. All right, a couple of quick articles here, too. We have about 10 or so minutes left, and then we'll wrap up. Started a bit late today. That's why we're going over a little bit here. A look inside Seattle's newly formed Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Did you guys see this? A couple of Antifa people, I forget how many exactly, but a sizable portion of them, decided to, let's face it, they actually decided to set up a barrier, a border, a wall of sorts, to stake out a certain portion, which they now claim is theirs. And it was the 13th precinct or something like that. On Monday, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin announced that police at the city's East Precinct, I thought it was a number, but okay, the East Precinct, would be leaving the area and reopening streets that had been blocked off for almost 2 weeks. It didn't take long before what became known as the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone began to take shape. Barriers originally set up by police have been repurposed to set up the borders of the zone, right? So now, isn't that funny, though? Someone said in the chat before, and I kind of forgot the point, but you bet your ass that once they've dismantled the police, one of the first things these people do when they take control and take over is they will set up a Cheka, right? They'll set up a Stasi, a version of their own police that will enforce their rules and their laws, and it will be an anti-white force that's basically going to criminalize you for being white, and if you don't bow to Zod, then we'll put you in jail. But this is the very same point here, right? They have borders, right? Now, borders are fine now when we take over and we have our territory, right? Goddamn hypocrites. It's amazing. What used to be the Seattle Police Department on the corner of 12th and Pine now reads Seattle People Department. Radio's Hannah Scott and Nicole Jennings spent time in the CHAZ Tuesday, watching for hours, hundreds of people or so began setting up tents, putting up signs, and preparing to set up camp as part of their ongoing protest against police brutality. Here's some of the photos of this here. I think someone went in with a video camera too, a crew. They were being escorted out of there. They were being this close to being violently attacked. You're now entering free Capitol Hill, they say here. But they still have to have borders for it, right? Isn't that interesting? Here's some more videos. They're watching right now the Jazz. There's food, security, bathroom, art, love, public discourse, action education, film viewing, and much needed community building. Here's Chaz on 6ix9ine. This is yesterday. Watching Ava's documentary 13th featuring Angela Davis. The crowd is here to stay, the tweets say. Let's look at what they're doing. Let's look at what they're doing here in Chaz.
And in my case, Ronald Reagan was the governor of California. Richard Nixon was the president of the U.S. The whole apparatus of this.
See how peaceful it is? See, if you just take away cops, this is how we'll be all the time. We'll hang out, we'll get along, we'll smoke some weed, we'll eat some soy. We'll just take it easy. We don't have to work. We can steal shit from other people. It'll be great. Don't worry about it. We'll watch Angela Davis, deconstructionist cultural Marxist documentaries all day. Be absolutely fantastic, right? Welcome to Free Capitol Hill. Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone forms around emptied East Precinct. Updated. This is from Capitol Hill Seattle blog right here. I'm not going to go through the whole article. They talk about much of the same thing. Here's some more video for you here as well. Let's check this out. See their little border they have there? The orange little barriers there. A little border wall. Their autonomous zone. See, when it's about them deporting people they don't like, then it's totally fine. And see, again, it's not the principles of the other side, if you will, that was wrong. It's that the wrong people are in charge of it. That's the only thing. Here's some photos here. Defund the police. We can't breathe. Having a concert, right? See, it's good times. Just hang out. The BLM. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What are we looking at here? That's, I guess, actual LARPers, I would assume. All right. At least they have bathrooms, right? Bathrooms. Now, there was a tweet going around. I'm still not sure. Oh, there's the next one here. So here we go. They released a list of demands as well here. The autonomous zone set up by protesters in Seattle's Capitol Hill district has released a list of demands. In a blog post on Medium published Tuesday, the protesters, which overtook a barricaded several city blocks on Monday, outlined the necessary, police policy changes for the cultural and historic advancement of the city of Seattle. A reporter for Kiro, a local radio station, described the zone as very peaceful. See? It's great when they just hand over control to them. They'll be very peaceful. With demonstrators giving out free food and medical aid. Representing the views of the, quote, collective black voice, unquote, from what has been dubbed Free Capitol Hill, the demands focused on issues like the justice system. Economics, you know what that means. Gibbs, more money. Gibbs, education. Education, we just got to educate people more. That'll be all good. And health and human services. In regards to the justice system, the group is demanding the outright abolition of both the Seattle Police Department as well as the court system. It's funny that these people can, like, they have no problem, like, hanging around and just sitting around all day or to, I mean, I know there's more people off work after, the coronavirus bullshit and all that stuff, but, like, does anybody of these people work? They just occupy several streets and be there for days and days and days. That's also that Indian. I forget her name now. Incredibly anti-white. I forget her name. She's up in, also, I think, on the city council in Seattle. We've played some clips with her in the past. Pretty interesting. Anyway, it goes on from there. It's the, you know, all these demands and give us free stuff and let everybody go from the prison. You know, it's all the usual stuff, all the same thing. Vider tweeted this out too. Is this a Bastille moment or a Fort Sumter moment? Meaning, is a civil war about to begin? Or is it the revolution, the French Revolution, the Jacobins? The Jacobins were psychos, psychotics, right? No one tells a story of this, the great architect of the universe that these people worshipped too, by the way, when they pulled apart the Bastille. One of the first things they did, actually, and not many people know this, but they actually built the pyramid and of the stone from the Bastille, and they started, it was a fountain that had been designed with some woman that had, I'm not making this up, had milk streaming from her breasts and stuff, and they had some design for this fountain that was there, and they were going to worship this, the supreme being of the universe. That's what they actually worshipped. The Jacobins with the Bastille movement. Very interesting history there. But anyway, so they make the comparison. Is it the French Revolution, or is it the Civil War starting here? Or a third option, is it just Antifa cosplaying as revolutionaries until corporate America recognizes their independence and starts to sponsor this autonomous zone? Imagine Nike, Swoosh, or Apple branding on these barricades. So this was tweeted out by Armani. Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. 6 blocks retaken back for the people. You are now leaving the USA when you enter. Long live the fucking revolution, Armani says here. Imagine being... And this is what Black Rock, the biggest shadow bank in the world, and Goldman Sachs is what they support. This is what they're pouring money into right now. I don't know if this was true, too. I tried to find the original tweet. Maybe it was removed because it was made fun of or something. But regarding this autonomous zone there, they said, we need more, someone said here, alert to the homeless people we invited took away all the food at the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. We need more food to keep the area operational. Please, if possible, bring vegan meat substitutes, fruits, oats, soy products, etc. Anything to help us eat. It's got to be a troll. Is it a troll? It's got to be a troll. I think it's a troll. What do you think? 1 for a troll, chat. 2 for real. It's got to be a troll. I couldn't find it. Someone can find it. The original tweet. Let me know. Send soy. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Send more soy. We can. It's going down. We gotta have the soy. All right. We just have a couple of more things here, guys. Then we're gonna start. Let me see what you say here. 1, 2. Yeah, this can't be real. People say that's pretty divided. Actually, on that, it's not. It's not set in stone. Yeah, I know. Sometimes you don't know. You can't make it up. Send all the soy. We need all the soy. Yeah, so a couple of more donations here came in while we're just doing the last couple of things here at the end before we wrap up. Shroon sent another diamond. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. No message. Well, a dot, I guess. Mr. Wright, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 diamonds. 4 diamonds in a row, and followed by a Ninjagini. Thank you, Mr. Wright. Always good to see you here. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for your support. New DeLorean, a diamond, and he says homeless people took all of their food. Yeah, that's right, exactly. I mean, maybe you sent that before I actually showed the tweet there. Chip14 sends a diamond and says they can't exist without us. They want us slaves. They want us slaves. Yeah, like ass slaves, right? I've made the point before that it says whatever you do, you can't win. Stand up, sit down, go over there, shut up, get over here, help me out, don't talk, talk about these things, you know, just like what, jump through the hoop, don't jump through the hoop, entertain me, go away, right? It, like, there needs to be the, just as long as you're at their command all the time, but that's what it's about, right? So I agree that, I mean, in one way, I mean, the people who built the Western world, we could always rebuild, and that's what we'll do. And now we're seeing the real-time collapse being live-streamed in front of our eyes here. It's kind of interesting. Of course, hurts to see it and everything, but it's fine. As long as we maintain who we are as a people, we can rebuild anywhere. And that's probably what we'll have to do. It's happened many times before in history, and an empire, a civilization, never lasts forever. It's just a fact, and as painful and as problematic it is to see that. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't fight it and try to prevent it, or whatever, but it means sometimes in history things just go down the drain. And then people rebuild, and they do new things after they fought off their enemies and stuff. That's just how it goes. All right, I actually haven't seen this yet, so I don't know. I just saw that someone was complaining that, you know, someone, I guess, was making fun of the kneeling thing and stuff like that. So I wanted to see it. Woman here says, it's not my video, but I just have to spread this thing. This was today in Franklinville, New Jersey. He works at FedEx. And so was his docs. He did the wrong thing, and he got a doc. Let's watch it, see what it is. What's going on here? They have Trump signs, All Lives Matter signs, I guess. No peace! All right. So I guess making fun of it or something. I'm not sure what's going on there. But, you know, they had that All Lives Matter sign. You know, absolutely, absolutely criminal. And then someone said that FedEx wrote back. Yeah, so again, they dox him and they fire him from his job immediately and stuff. Got a response from FedEx. It's just, I'm not even going to show that. It's just so pathetic, right? But yeah. BitChute tweeted here. I couldn't believe it, but then when I heard that Gone with the Wind has been banned for hate speech. But there you go. Removed from HBO Max after racism poster. Gone with the Wind. This is, of course, why we talk about that they will remove everything from us. They will remove our culture, our comedy, our songs, our music. I mean, it's like all of it will be removed. All of it. Nothing will remain. Anything they don't like will be attacked. Sweden. Carl von Linné. I was literally joking together with Lana the other day here, 2 days ago or so, about the fact that, like, just wait. They will attack someone like Carl von Linné, right? He was the, what do you call it, taxologist. I don't know if that's true, if it's also plants. He says one of the more sourced names on Wikipedia. I think number two is Hitler, at least in the old counting. That means one of the most mentioned persons on Wikipedia is Hitler, of course, right? But number one is actually Carl von Linné, Swedish. He was naming things, right? In Latin, he traveled all over the place. He defined, you know, plants and names and all that kind of stuff. And all that's bad, right? So a person here is writing in Swedish. Here's the statue in Humlegården, one of the most prominent Swedes throughout history, Carl von Linné. Lovett Jallo, I think he's like a BLM activist in Sweden, a anti-racist activist, and several groups are now proposing for real that the statue is to be torn down because that his research was taking place in the 17th century or in the 1700s. And that doesn't fit into the kind of leftist skewed version of how we like to have to see the world or the narrative kind of today, the person says here. So hang on to your pantaloons, ladies and gentlemen, your 1700s pantaloons, because they're going for all of it, right? Including someone like Carl von Linné, just for existing, just for organizing things into understandable categories for us from the point of view of nature. Let's listen to this quick. This is one of the last thing I want to take before we wrap up here for today. I had a couple of more about the signs, but let me just play this. 28 seconds long. I haven't had time to listen to it yet. I think it's in Swedish, but it could be in English because some of these BLM activists, African activists in Sweden, they don't speak Swedish. They just speak English, so it could be a guess here. Last time I was surprised. Let's check it out. I found it quickly before we came on. I wanted to play it again. It's regarding Black Lives Matter protesting in Stockholm, Sweden. Can you believe this shit? Doesn't she seem reasonable? All right, so she's saying, let me translate that for you. She's saying, you're sons of whores, essentially. Hurungar, she says prominently. Also the translation here, I'm going to F your mothers, is of course one of the, it's always that with these folks, right? It's always, I'm going to do XYZ to your mom, or you're going to F your mom or something. Let's listen to it again. She's psychotically screaming at presumably three Swedish police officers standing there, because police brutality is just completely out of control in Sweden, right? Yeah, who she says. I think we've had enough of the hysterics, the BLM hysterics for one day here today. But yeah, that's what you get. Isn't it multicultural society is just a joy? Isn't this working out just swimmingly, folks? Even Sweden. Even Sweden. Gotta have this shit. And it's not to say that the situation in any regard is justified in America, but it's just not comparable in any way at all, like historically and stuff like that. But they still pull it off, which means it's not about slavery. It's not about you're white. We play the Weekend Warrior. Another BLM woman in Sweden. They're saying we deserve to be wherever we want because you whites stole from us. Was the thing she said. I don't have the clip here now, but we played it in Weekend Warrior, also in Stockholm. Last story here. Across the globe, scientists are striking for black lives. That's right. Science is officially canceled and put on hold. I remember the decolonized science was pretty big in South Africa. We covered that a couple of years ago. But it says here on June 10, thousands of academics are stopping research activities to educate themselves about disparities and take action against systemic racism in science. That's right. Can't make it up, right? And they go through the usual stuff. This is Wired reporting of this here, too. Emma Neuberger on Twitter says, thousands of scientists are on strike today to protest systemic racism in STEM. People are spreading word about the strike with hashtags #ShutDownAcademia, #ShutDownSTEM, and #StrikeForBlackLives. Here's CNBC reporting on this, too. Thousands of scientists go on strike to protest systemic racism in STEM. Can you believe this? I mean, I can. It's not, nothing is out of bounds anymore. I remember this book too, Superior, Angela Saini. We've covered that too. It's always the same thing. So science officially, ladies and gentlemen, is up next. All right. Let me do this last one. Adam Green from No More News tweeted this out. It was kind of funny too. He says, the opinion piece everyone was waiting for. Click into the headline. What the white supremacist roots of biological sex reveal about transphobic feminism. Suck on that for a little bit. Suck on that headline for a little bit here. Let me pause this here. Don't want to see J.K. Rowling right now. How Britain's colonial past can be traced through the transphobic feminism of today. What the white supremacist roots of biological sex reveal about transphobic feminism. Now, if you pay attention here, too, a little bit, see how much bigger I can make that here. We have the author here, too. Let me see. Where are we here? Sorry, this is a little confusing here. There we go. Amru Al-Qadi. Can you see that properly there? It's writing that headline right there. Amru Al-Qadi. All right, I think someone actually tweeted. Yeah, here we go. That's right. What else do you expect from something like this? What's the line here? It's good stuff. Totally not insane. Completely reasonable. What the white supremacist root of a biological sex reveal about transphobic feminism. All right. Oh, guys, we are going to, I think we'll wrap up with that. I think we'll wrap up with that. I had some more stuff, but we'll wait on that. I saw that Ice Cube was trending earlier, by the way. He had tweeted out something like, it was kind of funny. He's triggering some people on Twitter. Ice Cube is being accused of anti-Semitism for posting like Black Cube stuff, right? And he posted out this one, the hexagram with, of course, the three-dimensional Black Cube inside of that. It's a kind of a old symbolic stuff. He did some other stuff too. All the Black Cubes. We'll talk about Black Rock and stuff like that too, though. He's triggering the libs with all that kind of stuff. All right, let me do these last couple of super chats here, guys, and then we'll wrap up here for today. Chip 14. Oh, we did that one. Thank you, Chip. Black Philip donates a dime. It says, Henrik on Killstream with Ralph for Tour Thursday. Yes, that's right. I was going to mention that. I didn't forget. Tomorrow, I'll be on with Ralph on the Killstream. I think probably 10 p.m. or something like that. Make sure, of course, I'm sure you're all subbed already. DLive.tv/TheRalphRetorts. Find it there. I'll be joining Ralph tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. Always good to be on with Ralph, so look forward to that. Black Philip donates another diamond. And it says, DLive just showed all the merchant stickers. Really? Did they now? Yeah, I see an awful lot of stickers removed. Oh, some looks like it's coming through. Some are coming through, it looks like. So we'll see. But yeah, DLive has done some things, which is some people maybe are worried about, which I completely understand. But we love them. It's a great platform. We're very thankful we're there. But hopefully they will stay true to their initial stated goal, at least at some point. They were talking about the fact that they don't like censorship and stuff like that. So we'll see if they can follow through on that. Dr. Silberman, a diamond, and he says they hate you because they need you. I think there's some truth to that, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to open the... let me open the chest here, right at the end. Distributing awards. Thank you so much for joining us today, guys and gals. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure having you here with us. Heads up, lemons coming your way. What else? I think that was it. Let me just double check that we don't have everything on donor box. I hope I didn't miss any there. Nope, not today. Entropy, nothing there either. Making sure... Don't actually miss any of you guys if you've posted over there. All right, here we go. Lemons. Just waiting for to see who the lucky winners are, and then we'll wrap up. Good to see you guys. We're going to, of course, be back here tomorrow. We have more coming up. We have more videos by Lana as well that is worked on, being in the worked on. They're in the pipeline right now. So heads up on that. What do we have here? Luckiest followers. We have Bad White Okami, number one. Purist 777, number three, number two, rather, William Shearer, number three, Nick Diaz, number four, and Shroon, number five. Thank you to all of you guys, and thank you to everyone donating today. Really appreciate it. Hope you had a good time. Always a pleasure seeing all of you. Thank you so much. I think that's it. I can't remember. Check out, of course, let's do a little plug here at the end. Check out the memberships, of course. We have a video. Lana just went up on the site yesterday, late yesterday, exclusive for members. Does a white majority make a perfect country, right? That's usually the counter-argument. Well, it wouldn't be perfect if it was a white country anyway, so therefore we can just displace you ethnically and just replace all of you, and we can just open the borders, right? That's kind of the argument. So Lana can go through some of that. So check it out. Good stuff. Weekend Warrior, of course, before that, members exclusive show. Great way of supporting us as well. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go get some dinner. Thank you so much for watching us tonight. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure having you with us. We'll be back here shortly with more. Until then, take care and stay safe. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.